Go ahead, Jay. Sing it.
Wake Me Up. That is, without a doubt, my morning song.
That's it right there, isn't it?
Till I get at least the third cup of coffee going.
And how's that working out for you?
Well, I'm only like halfway on cup one this morning.
That's so funny. That is so awesome. I'm trying to get on the screen here for some reason, so it's not working. Hey, good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
I'm sitting over here, but I just not on the screen. But that's okay. People don't need to see me.
Are they seeing me fighting with my glasses? So.
Probably. There we go. Boy. Let's see. Now if I put you here, there we go. Now that works.
Got both of us now?
I got both of us.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there you are, and there I am. So
I really hate doing that to people so early.
I know. It's just something else. I got to tell you a story, and I was telling you a little bit about it a little bit ago. Tim Morse, a friend of ours, he does the Pulse WV Live with us. He's like our political analyst. Mm-hmm. And
That's scary.
I know.
I know Tim, and that's scary.
He bought a car down in the lower part of Kentucky. Mm. I'm talking about in the central time zone.
End of the world, turn left.
That's about right. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Been there.
So anyway, we went and picked that car up yesterday. 4.5 hours. So we're coming back home, and I got in bed at 1:30. And, you know, after I showered and fixed my hair and all that. Mm. And
looks good.
Well, thank you. I work hard on it. And so what happened was about midnight or so, he said, do you want to stop? He said, are you okay? And I said, no. I said, I'm great. I said, I got to get home. I said, Pastor Jay Mace is on the Pulse WV Live in the morning. And I said, so I have got to get home. Mm. So it was a Hallmark movie.
Is that what it was?
The only thing we were missing was snow.
And the crazy love affair.
I surely
hope that didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
You know how that works, right?
What's that?
The Hallmark movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
you gotta flirt and have the little, you know, the little interest going in the beginning, and then something very predictable and bad happens, and they don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
And then something miraculous happens, and... Yeah, they fall in love and live happily ever after.
Because they used to date.
That's the synopsis of every Hallmark movie.
It really is.
In history. So
you're exactly right.
There you have
it.
You don't have to watch them, guys. Your women will, but that's okay.
Well, and you know, I think they need to do a Hallmark movie like Die Hard. You know, where, you know, there's, you know, shooting and, you know, people being hostages and all that kind of stuff.
That would really blow. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Yes.
It's not. I saw that same thing.
Okay.
It is not because it was actually released in July.
Oh.
It was released in July. But
so then, definitely not a Christmas
movie. But it has a Christmas theme because they're having a Christmas party and all that.
I've always said that I like Lethal Weapon better than Die Hard.
Right.
So I've always said that if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, then Lethal Weapon is a Christmas movie because literally in Lethal Weapon, they say Merry Christmas multiple times.
That's true.
It only happens once in Die Hard.
Just one time.
I think. That's what I was told. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't literally watch movies and tick mark things
you don't,
like that.
I got you.
I don't have that much time.
I know. Speaking of, what have you been up to?
Fixing cars. Yeah, we've had issues with all of our cars. And you know me, I'm too cheap to go buy cars and have payments and things like that. So I've been fixing the cars, needed a brake line on the truck and a couple alternators and serpentine belts and
serpentine
master cylinders.
Well,
and
serpentine, wow.
I tell you what, YouTube is teaching me to be what's the term, grease monkey? Is that what they call it?
Yeah,
YouTube's calling me to, you know, they're turning me into quite the grease monkey.
That's crazy. Well, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So please pray for Jay and his family with cars. It seems like there's always something going on with cars. And
actually, not that bad.
Yeah, not that bad. But, you know, the favorite line, I know your favorite line in the movie, you look across at me sometimes like I'm about just to nail you to the wall. You look across at me like
I'm
that.
I'm just waiting, man.
I know. It's like you do that. You think, it's like, okay, what's he going to say? Is in the movie Cars, and your favorite line is, he won the Piston Cup.
Yeah.
And he said he did what in his cup?
Yeah. I was not ready for that in a theater. I was not ready for that at all.
That is so funny.
It's pretty hilarious.
That is for sure. Well, let's get started. Jay is on a time schedule, and I just always appreciate you being a part of the Wednesday, the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. I have your thing on the screen. Look at there. I just downloaded that. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, very cool.
Still small voice, and that's what Pastor Jay is on today. And so if you want to go ahead and get started, you want to pray first, you want me to pray?
You pray, because I'll be talking about the message.
Yeah, Jesus, we love you today. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for a safe trip home that you gave me. Yes, and Lord, Jesus, I just thank you for everything that you're doing with the Pulse, both locations, Father. And we just pray for your will to be done in today. And Father, we pray people get help. We pray, Father, Lord, that souls come to Jesus. And Father, we love you, and we thank you for it. And we thank you for that still small voice.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
So, people watching this morning, we have Connie Sandy. That's John Sandy's sister.
Yeah.
Sarah Thomas is watching. My sister Kathy is watching. She says good morning to Jay and John.
Good morning.
Danielle is watching this morning. And Nellie and my dad are watching out in Jackson County. Lindsay, we hooked her TV up. She got her internet back on out there in Jackson County.
Okay.
And so Lindsay showed her how to hook it up to where they've got a TV about that size.
Oh, nice.
And so if she's doing it right,
we're like really big on the screen.
We're on TV.
That's frightening.
We've arrived, man. So you go right ahead.
All right. Well, we've been talking about hearing God and how important it is for us to hear God, especially with everything going on in the world today. And I think it's a lost art. I think with the internet and Google and the ability to watch message after message after message and everything else like that, I think we have forgotten how to get ourselves in touch directly with God. We have a lot of sources who will tell us, hopefully, I mean, I guess you can go buy things and tell people stuff, but I think hopefully, you know, we can watch a lot of sources who are telling us what they've heard from God.
Right.
But I think we as a church have lost the art of hearing from God and allowing God to minister to us and lead us into the path that he authored for us. And I think it's why so many of us are in struggles. So many of us are in bad relationships. So many of us, are depressed. So many of us are fighting anxiety. So many of us are fighting all of these things is because we've come to a place where we're isolated and we don't hear from God the way God always intended us to hear from him. I mean, God's design was for us to be in constant companionship and communion with him.
That's true.
And we're just not doing it. So as part of that message, as it kind of evolved, putting it together, it really became an exhortation of how important it is for us to have the right things in place in our life so that we do hear from God. And, you know, one thing that I think is important for us is, you know, we want God to move mountains and we want God to split seas, and he's still capable of doing all of those things. And I think, you know, it's largely our fault and the church's fault that we don't see great moves of God like that anymore, great miracles of God like that anymore. But that's another message. I won't go there. But
I was about to kick in because I talked on that yesterday. Let me tell you something. He's waiting on us, man.
Yes,
he's waiting on us to do it.
Absolutely, he is. But what we really got looking at was several of the factors and things that we need to do or be in tune with in order for God to speak to us. And, you know, it starts out by the promises. You know, one of those things are the promises. I think that was week three, where, you know, God still believes in the promises that he gave man.
Amen.
It wasn't just in the Old Testament. You know, if God spoke it then, he believes it now, and he will, you know, continue to do those things in our life. And as part of that, we have to know, not just know, because in Sunday school, you know, we learned what happened with Moses. We learned what happened with Noah. We learned all the stories in Sunday school and in church over the years. But what have we done with that knowledge?
Right.
And I don't think, you know, the Bible teaches us that things written aforetime were written for our learning, right? So that we could walk in the same kind of power.
That's
and we don't walk in that power. We don't walk in the blind faith and power of a Moses and of a Noah and you know, countless others that we can name in Scripture. And a lot of that is because we neglect the promises. We neglect to make them part of our life, pray them over our life and everything that's going on in our life. Another thing is we neglect the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I kind of said it like this. You're making me bounce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm used to me being in there by myself. It's like that's where I normally put that. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I don't care if they don't care. You know, we have empowered ourselves to become almost godlike in the sense of what the serpent tempted Eve with, in that, you know, with Google and everything else, we feel like we have all the answers. And the reason we feel like that is because I think we neglect understanding the spiritual side of things, and we don't really embrace the Holy Spirit and His work in our life. We embrace God. God's on the throne. We embrace Jesus and His work on the cross and resurrection. But I don't think we really embrace the Holy Spirit at the level that we should. And because of that, we're operating fleshly where we need to be operating spiritually.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That was part two. So I'm just kind of recapping to lead into this week.
Well, here's one little thing. Let me add, if I could. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And that's Ephesians 6:10. I read that yesterday. Mm. It's amazing how you and I are like on the same page with this.
Always,
thing. Yeah. But here's the thing. It's like I think that I agree with you about the knowledge, you know, that we have Google and we have all this kind of thing. And we think that we can be little gods, so to speak. But the thing about it is the knowledge, people aren't applying it.
Right.
It's like I said last week. It's one thing to read it, but it's one thing to believe it.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And walk in it.
Yeah, and walk in it.
Yeah, walk in it.
You got to walk in the newness of God.
We can believe it. Like, we can believe the promises.
Right.
Right? I believe, you know, God split the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. Ooh, cool, great story.
Right.
Well, are we walking that? Are we living that?
Right.
You know, God doesn't respect, hard to believe, but He doesn't respect Moses any more than He does me.
Right.
Or you. So, you know, if he's going to bring that kind of salvation into those circumstances, He's going to bring it into ours.
That's it.
I
just hope if the Lord takes you before me, that at least and you're special like Moses is, at least maybe God will tell you where He buried you. Because we don't know. God didn't tell anybody where they buried. He buried Moses.
Oh, no, that's
because he
true.
Was special.
Yeah.
You looked at me. It's like,
yeah.
Where are you going?
Yeah, I was kind of lost for a minute. But.
It's like God has a secret. He's not telling us. Nobody still knows.
But then, you know, what this week kind of brought about, and you know, I kind of just briefly recapped, but what this week really brought us into is if we're going to hear from God, it's important that we see and deal with our temptations. Now, last week when you asked us what this week was going to be about, I said we were going to talk about Satan, and I really did. But God kind of led us a different way during the service. Excuse me, coffee is...
it does me that way, too.
Coffee's working me.
Yeah, it does me that way, too.
But I really thought we were going to talk more about Satan and the things he does to lure us away from the things of God. But a part of that message centered on the book of James. And I want to read that to you because I think it's a part of that scripture that I think we read through really quickly and we miss.
I've been stuck in James. Love it.
It says, starting at verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach." Gives to all. That's me and you, right? That's everybody listening.
And the Greek word for all is all.
Yes. Yeah. "All liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith." And you see, that's where You know, that's where we need the Holy Spirit, and that's where we need to know the promises and understand the promises so that we can ask and believe the same kind of things in faith with no doubting, right?
Right.
With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's pretty powerful right there, right? That's a shot.
Yes.
Right? That's a shot from James to all of us who raise our hands and say, we believe in God, but then we worry and stress and freak out constantly, not having the faith and the belief that God's going to do what God said he was going to do. The thing is, we can't trust God to do the things we said he was going to do.
Right.
Moses didn't say, watch me, I'm going to go down here and God's going to part the sea.
Right.
Moses just said, watch, look.
Stand still.
Stand still.
And see.
And see the salvation of the Lord. No clue what God was going to do. He just put God to the test and said, you're going to do something. Yes. And he split the sea. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower of the field will pass away, for no sooner had the sun risen, but a burning heat, and then it withers the grass and it flowers, and its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. All right, so I want to jump over to chapter 2 with that. It says, my brethren, starting at verse 1, it says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill, I like the emphasis there. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
That's great. Right?
So when we start putting all of this into perspective and we start considering our trials and we start considering our temptations and we start realizing how God is working and moving in our lives, we come to a place and a point where we start to see that God is looking for us to work against what Satan is doing in this life. Right?
That's good. Yes, you're right.
We've got to understand that our goal, our hope and our promise, our calling, you know, to reach the oppressed and to reach those who are broken and ultimately broken by sin, right? Because I think sometimes when we read about poor and rich in Scripture, I think sometimes we immediately equate that to money. I think sometimes the Scripture is talking about poor and rich in spirit, right?
And it says that.
Yes, it does.
And that basically means that you don't have the knowledge.
Right. Yeah. You don't have the knowledge or you don't have the working spirit within you. It's why early in the series we talked about consummating our Christianity with spirit and the Holy Spirit and its work in our life. Because without it, we can't begin to discern and understand the things of God. So here's what Satan does. Satan begins to bring temptation into our life. Satan begins to work in us according to his desires and his fears concerning the power of God that's working in us, right? Now, Satan doesn't fear us if we haven't consummated with the Spirit, right? If we're not walking in love, right? Which is of God, walking and talking and dealing in love, which was one of the weeks of the message. We talked about that last week.
Right.
If we're not claiming the promises and walking and believing in the promises of God, Satan's not worried about us. Satan doesn't fear those who just show up on Sunday morning, you know, and then leave.
One of the things, Jay, and that's a good philosophy. I mean, I love that. And one thing that our goal every day should be is to go to bed with a bloody sword.
Mm, yeah.
And we should go to bed with a bloody sword every day. Not with the anticipation of what is the devil going to do to me today, but what am I going to do to him? Mm. And I wrote something down that you mentioned here. It's like, okay. It's like, and you know, in our years of ministry, you've heard this, and you know, well, you know, I've been tempted to cheat, or I've been tempted to lust, or I've been tempted, you know, to porn, or I've been tempted to all these things. But you never have you ever heard in 30 years of ministry, have you ever heard anybody say, "Man, I really had a tough day. I was tempted to doubt."
Mm. Yeah,
I've never heard anybody say that, and I just wrote that down.
Yeah,
but he not only does he tempt with the physical, you know, the physical things, you know, of the flesh, but he will tempt the spirit.
Yes, well, and that's exactly where we're going. You listened to the message this week, didn't you?
not yet, but it's, no. Isn't that so cool?
But God's given it. It is. Listen, here's where we go. So going back to chapter 1 of James, starting at verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one, listen, this is important, but each one is tempted when he... Right? Mm-hmm. So let me put my name in there so that we get the emphasis. But Jay is tempted when Jay is drawn away by Jay's own desires and enticed.
That's it.
Right? So when I was in school, I used to wear this shirt because I was that guy back then, but I used to wear this shirt around all the time when I was out being ornery.
Right.
And so the devil made me do it. Okay, James takes that away from us right here.
Yes.
Right? Devil didn't make me do anything.
No.
I chose to be tempted. I chose to be lured away. And I chose to desire things other than the things of God. Right? So I'll read that again. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So if we take this and we apply this the way we're supposed to apply this, it brings us into the reality that Satan didn't make us do anything. We learn from Job that Satan can't touch us without God's permission.
True.
And some will argue, the liturgy there... Some will argue that because of the work of Christ and now being under the blood of Christ, Satan can't touch us, period. Right? He was able to touch Job in the Old Testament, right? Because Job gave daily sacrifices, sacrifice for each of his children and everything else like that.
Right.
So because of that, God had a hedge around Job.
Right.
And Satan had to go and get God's permission for that hedge to be removed.
Right.
Well, now the hedge around us is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so some will argue that Satan can't touch us physically at all, like he did Job. But what Satan does, however, is he puts all the pretty things in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
He puts all of the fleshly things that he knows will entice us in front of us and around us to speak to what is working inside of us and tempting us, knowing what we battle with, knowing that deep down in our flesh what we want.
Mm-hmm.
He will put these things in front of us and cause us to stray. So if you look at Scripture, I know I'm giving a whole lot. So let me get there.
No, you're good. You're good.
Then we'll discuss it.
I'm trying to stay quiet.
So if you look at the garden,
yeah,
right, it wasn't anything comely or pretty about the serpent, right?
No, don't talk to a snake.
So yeah. So what was pretty about all of that? It was the offer that if you eat this fruit, you'll become like God. You'll know what God knows. You'll have knowledge, right? Eve wasn't tempted by Satan. Eve was tempted by her own desire for more.
Right.
Her own desire to want more knowledge and her own desire to be like God, right?
Right.
And that's a lot of our problem today is we got a lot of people in this world wanting to be like God, right? Yep. And instead of approaching his throne, we're wanting to be God ourselves, and we're trying to pull him off his throne for our own glory. But anyway, I digress.
Right.
But so if we look throughout Scripture, one thing I brought up Sunday is, you know, look at Esau, right? Esau was promised a nation, right?
He was.
Was promised a nation. Esau was promised the presence and the power of God over that nation for his life, right? A lot of promise and a lot of power, a lot of God plan, you know, into all of that. And what happened? He got hungry.
He did.
He got hungry, and he sold his birthright, right?
He did.
Esau was tempted because of what was going on inside of him. Satan didn't lure him into that, right? Satan may have put it in front of him,
right,
and said, "Hey, man, your brother's got some pretty cool soup over there,"
mm-hmm,
right? And Esau chose because of his own desires and what mattered to him most. Esau chose to sell his birthright.
That's the key word of what you just said is chose.
Yes.
You know, he chose. We are free moral agents. We can sin if we want to. You know, Jesse Duplantis said this not long ago. He says, I don't want to sin. He says, I have to make myself. If I want to sin, I got to make
Paul
myself.
Paul says that.
Yeah. Because, you know, we don't want to sin. But here's the thing that there's a couple of things here. We do not have to allow the enemy to intimidate us.
No.
We should intimidate him.
Absolutely.
And so when the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 10, you were talking about this a minute ago, and I found this. Matthew 10:28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body."
Mm.
He said them, okay? He said, "But are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell."
Yeah.
And so we don't have to fear. And you know, and I take this is between, I see part of what Jesus is saying here, part of the devil, don't fear him, fear me, because mm-hmm, I can take you all out,
mm-hmm,
you know. But when you think about that, and I hope that, you know, it may apply a little bit, but here's one thing that I really go back to into what you just said just a few minutes ago, in James. He says, when it has come to, let's say, what was the word that you actually said? Let me go back here to it. When sin has conceived, okay, I got it back here. Mm-hmm. It says, enticed by your own lust, and then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, this is verse 15 of James 1, When it is finished, now you think of that. You said, what was the word that you used?
Full-grown. Which Bible did I pick up? I'm using the New King James Version.
Okay, now that really hit me. Okay, when it is full-grown, then that means that it's been with you a while.
Yes.
That means it's been with you. You have nurtured your own sin.
Yeah.
And you have allowed it to be raised with you. And see, one thing that I believe this, and I don't know how we've never really talked about this, but I believe that there are angels assigned to me, and I believe that there's also demons that are assigned. Mm. There's a plan sure. to destroy our lives, okay?
Yeah.
And so what the enemy will do is the enemy doesn't know our future. He only knows our past, but he'll bait you. He yeah. will bait people. He will bait people, you know, to click on it or to say it or to do it.
Well, I think he watches us.
Yeah.
I think he watches us, and he sees, you know, it's kind of like when you're going through a store, you know, and if you're a little kid sitting
what
in
you're
a little,
browsing, yeah,
sitting in a little thing and you're a kid and you see something, oh, mommy, I want this, right?
Right.
Right. I just talked in a baby voice. That's weird.
No.
This radio thing's doing really weird things to me. But, yeah, I mean, we're like that kid in a grocery cart being pushed through, right? God's leading us through, right? And all of a sudden we see something bright and shiny on the shelf and we want that. We cry for it.
Right.
God forbid we throw a tantrum for it.
Right.
Right. My kids never tantrum. I just didn't deal with that. But we see that all the time. And we are like that in the sense that we see things and we want those. And I think here's the thing. In our spirit, if we're walking spiritually, right, if we're in relationship, yes. That's why, you know, that was the second message of the series.
Yeah.
And how important it is that the Holy Spirit be real and alive in our life. And we're going through this life spiritually, right? Satan is limited in what he can do to us.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
Whether you believe, you know, that the hedge can't be taken back with Jesus or not, I tend to believe that the hedge of Jesus Christ can't be removed.
Amen.
Like the hedge of sacrifice was.
Right.
Right? But I know, you know, different.
I agree with you, brother.
Different theologies will argue that
That's
different
good.
Ways. But I don't believe the hedge of Jesus Christ can be taken away. God said it was once and for all, meaning it's done. It's finished.
Well, he's not going to. Okay, here's the thing: is he going to allow his bride to be beat up on before the wedding day?
Yeah, that was great, by the way.
So
we actually talked about that at Luke and Courtney's wedding,
yeah.
and
yeah,
everything.
Well, that's
but yeah,
true. I
really,
that.
Yeah, it was really really
that
powerful.
Now, out on the porch.
Yeah, but we Yeah, but we have to understand that in that opportunity through the Holy Spirit for us to follow God, right. Satan's an outsider in all of that. Mm-hmm. He gave all of that up when he chose mm-hmm. to oppose God in heaven and he was kicked out, right?
Yes.
He has no access to the spiritual realm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least God, the godly spiritual realm.
No.
So what he operates then is he operates on this earth. You know, he's among the dust of the earth, and he's going around seeking whom he may devour. All right, so what's that look like? If he's seeking whom he may devour, he's wandering around watching John. He's wandering around watching Jay. He's seeking whom he may devour. What does that mean? It means when he sees us enticed, when he sees us interested, when he sees us looking at something, and then all of a sudden he's now clued in, ooh, here's how I get to John.
Let me throw some bait
ooh,
out there.
Ooh, here's how I get to Jay.
Right.
Ooh, here's how I get to God's people, you know, who like this or who like that. So I'm going to put this in front of them. I'm going to put this in front of them. I'm going to make sure this random person flirts with them, or I'm going to make sure, you know, that this thing pops up on the internet, or I'm going to do all of these things to tempt them, or to allow them to tempt themselves. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. To allow them to tempt themselves, because now I know what gets them.
And then right? the next thing you know, he steps out of it.
He's gone.
And you are the master of your own temptation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are now dealing with ourselves when it comes to our ability to withstand, what Scripture say? To withstand the what? Wiles.
Of the devil.
Of the devil. What does that mean? It means the trickery of the devil, right? So many of us want to blame, you know, Satan, right? James tells us we can't blame God. So what do? The natural response, just like Adam, well, it's Eve's fault, you know? But you know what? And I share this all the time, and I hope everyone gets it and everything else. Where was Adam when Eve was going through all of this? Go back to Genesis. Okay. I know you know. I'm just saying. Go back to Genesis. Read the account. It says, and her husband with her. He was right there.
Right there the whole time.
And he was the keeper of the garden. Right. That was his assignment from
God.
He
allowed it to happen.
He allowed it to happen, right? Her husband with her. Here's the problem. So often, we are not only complicit in our temptation, we become complicit in its nurturing. As you said before, we become complicit in its nurturing to the point that it is full grown, and we will even choose the people we're with based on who will nurture our sin.
That is so good.
We will choose our friends, and we will choose those we spend time with based on those who will allow our sin. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll never forget. I was talking with a person one time, and they were having an affair. I don't know if it was exactly physical at this point, but it was definitely emotional. They were definitely going through the emotions of an affair. They were acknowledged the attraction, acknowledged the want to spend time together, and all of that. I really don't know if it had become physical at that point. It later did. I do know that. But we were talking about that, and he looked at me, and he said, "You're choosing our friendship."
Wow.
I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You're choosing whether or not we may remain friends in this." And I said, "Let me tell you something." And this is someone who's a good 10, 15 years in the faith further than me, right? I'm the pup wow. preacher. I'm the pup preacher just kind of standing at the sea with my rod saying, "See the salvation of the Lord here," freaking out inside and everything else. And the Holy Spirit just began to speak through me. And I looked at him. I said, "Let me tell you something. Those people you have chosen to surround you are only surrounding you because they keep you in a comfortable place."
Wow.
I said, the reality is the real friend, the person who cares about the heaven and hell in your life is the guy standing here looking you in the eye, telling you you're the guy and you need to fix this. Because the love of God is giving you an opportunity to realize that you are being lured away into something that God won't bless and God won't feel.
Wow.
He didn't have an answer to that. He just shrugged that off. And what we find, we become so caught up in all of this. Everything James says right here, these are just a couple verses, and they're really powerful verses, because what it does is it outlines for us the whole pathway of sin, pathway to sin in our life. It starts out with just a, "Oh, cool, look at that." And it matures itself all the way to, you know, full-grown sin in our life.
It's almost like, you know how, you know, like you and I have known each other many years. You know, Tim and I have known each other since fourth grade. We were raised together. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you take the addiction and you grow up with it. It grows up with you.
You choose it.
It grows, up with you. And so, wow, I mean, and then the enemy, the spirit of darkness, because that's where all this stuff comes from, and the enemy will just step away for self-destruction.
Yeah.
And he's baited you, and then boom, you go to, you know, when you look at depression, when you look at, you know, and there are some clinical things there. I mean, when you look at, you know, people who cut, I never did get that. And I know people who have done it and people who do it. I never understood it. And but although the Bible does talk about it, there's nothing new under the sun.
Well, what we have to understand is, I mean, I think that's completely separate, different than sin. I think those are two different things.
Right.
But, I've been around that and I've seen that. And I've dealt with people who are in that place.
Right.
And it's a darkness.
Yes.
It's a darkness. They have convinced themselves, the influences around them have helped convince them. Right. And by influences around them, that can either be people have influenced that they don't have worth, or they're not good enough and things like that, or they've convinced themselves, or a combination of both. Right. And it's a lot alike in the sense that Satan will see that.
Yes, that's what I was getting at.
And it just clicked. The light bulb just went off. I need more coffee. I'm out.
I think it is.
I'll get it.
No,
but what happens is Satan sees that the same as he sees our temptation to sin. Satan begins to see that loneliness and that depression and that feeling of unworthiness or good enough. You know, a lot of different things play into that. And so he begins to bait that or put things in front of people that take them into that dark place.
Because he's been watching.
He's been watching, seeking whom he may devour. And so we've got to understand that Satan only has access to what's around us. He's the prince of this world, right? Mm-hmm. He's the prince of this world. He doesn't sit on a throne.
No.
He's not holy. He's not majestic. He can't speak to us through the Holy Spirit as God can.
Right.
The only access he has to us is what he puts in front of us.
That's true.
And that's
good.
That's his limitation.
Right.
And so when we begin to see Satan in his limitation, and we begin to see his cunningness and his trickery and everything else, we see the perfect example of that in the garden. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Satan lied to Eve. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And knew what it would bring her to, that she would know right and wrong, but it would not make her like God.
Right.
Right?
Deception.
So he put it in front of her and allowed her to conceive in her own mind. Right?
Absolutely.
Everything James talks about, begin to conceive in her own mind and her own desires. What she wanted more than what God wanted. And that's what draws us away from God. And you say, well, what does any of this have to do with hearing from God? And here's what I believe. I believe that when we are in sin, we're separated from God, right? Every scripture tells us that.
Right.
Sin is enmity with God. Sin separates us from God. You know, sin walks us in death. You know, whereas God walks us into life. You know, so we know all of that. So what sin does and what this maturation process of sin does in our life, from temptation all the way up to full-grown sin, is it creates a division between us from God where we can't hear him. We can't hear God when sin is present in our life.
Because we allow it to deafen the Holy Spirit within us.
Yeah. Right. It pushes all of the godliness away from us. You know, what did Jesus say to Adam and Eve when he found them in the garden? When he found them, he knew where they were. But
he asked them
more like
where
when
they
found
were.
Themselves. Yeah. And he asked them where they were. He wanted to know where he knew where they were physically. He wanted to know where they were spiritually.
Right.
Why? Because they couldn't communicate spiritually anymore. Where are you? Right? You're not hearing my voice.
Right.
You're not interpreting the things that I'm leading you into. So where are you?
Right.
Right? And everything else. And then they said, we were naked and afraid. Full-grown sin.
Yes.
Full-grown sin. What they wanted, knowledge.
Yeah. Right.
Right? They wanted knowledge. They wanted to be like God. And that desire caused them to do the one thing. The one thing God told him not to do.
Right.
And they did that. And it moved them all of the way to full-grown sin. Yeah. For the first time in how long, we don't know, because you know, biblical time is a lot different than, but for the first time, they've been walking around naked.
Right.
And didn't realize it.
Didn't realize it.
Now, all of a sudden, they begin to see each other in a different light, in a different way, and they realize that, and what do? They become ashamed,
mm-hmm.
and they run and hide.
And it was all things that were of the flesh.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Can, as a Marine, you worked in demolition, right? Explosives?
Yes.
Okay. And we watch these movies where there has been an explosion that has taken place, and then you see the camera start spinning around the person, and the person's doing this, and their hearing is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it comes back to them. I guess that's called shell shock. Is that what mm-hmm. that's called?
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back to them, and then they pop back into reality. Does that really happen, or is that Hollywood?
Yes. No, it does really happen. You know, of course, in training, you know, you try not to get that full impact, you know, so you're not that close to the explosion and everything else like that. But you go through scenarios to where you're put in situations like that, to where, you know, you become disoriented and you learn to fight your way through it even before you're fully out of it. Because if you're just standing there spinning in circles, I mean, you're going to get shot and you're going to get killed. So you learn how to push through that even though you're not fully.
Do you see why I asked that question?
I do.
Do you see how you answered
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
And where do you go with that? What do people need to do when mm-hmm. when the bomb goes off?
You need to push through.
When the bomb of temptation goes off, or when the bomb of wherever you're at. It's good.
Here's,
it's good, brother.
Here's
good.
What I think, too. I think Satan is cunning, right? How many days did Adam and Eve pass that tree?
I mean, I don't know if it's reported, is it?
No.
Yeah, but I mean,
theoretically,
they did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, multiple times.
They saw it.
Several times a day. It's in the center of the garden.
Yeah.
They couldn't go from one side to the other without passing that tree. I don't believe Satan tempted them day one.
And they probably, you know, it's like we got a new roof put on the house, and the first few days, when you drive up to the neighborhood, you look at it. But then eventually you don't look at it.
You forget about it. Yeah.
So did they forget about it? And it's like back to the tree. Oh, yeah, there is a tree there.
I don't know that they forgot about it.
What you're saying, yeah.
Well, I mean, in the sense that it's not there. But I think every day they kind of pass that, and there was that, oh, I can't touch that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, little MC Hammer can't touch it. Anyway.
And if that was you and me, I would say, go ahead. Just how close can you get
right.
to it? You know?
Right. But what God wants us to do is God wants us to build a wall.
Wow.
To where we can't even look at it. We can't even see it. Right. And it doesn't have to be a physical wall.
Right.
But God wants us to become so strong in the spirit. Right. So one with him that we hear his voice and we nurture strength, spiritual power and spiritual strength. To where, Satan, that is the tree, and I'm not interested.
Right.
And everything else. And if you see, in the beginning, Eve said, oh, yeah, we're not allowed to touch that tree. And Satan's like, it's not what God really said.
She knew.
What God said was this. And I think Satan was watching Eve, and Satan knew that there was a little bit of Eve that every time she passed that tree, she looked at it, she was interested in it, she wondered about it, because who did he entice? He enticed Eve.
Enticed Eve.
He didn't entice Adam.
Right.
Who enticed Adam?
Eve.
Yeah. Right? And so we get a really good picture of how Satan works and how Satan manipulates
so that we
draw ourselves into temptation, right? James makes it really clear.
Yes,
we tempt ourselves. We tempt ourselves because we can't put away the temptation.
And what happened was, and I wrote this down, I've got a whole page of notes from you this morning. Here we go.
Hopefully from God.
Yeah amen. I'm with you. I got you. We tempt ourselves. One thing that Eve knew is she knew the word that came from God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch that tree.
Yeah.
She didn't apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I think the church is. Here's the word. It's one thing to know it, but then it's one thing to apply it.
Exactly.
And that's the only way. This is our weapon.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that we don't use it.
Yeah. It's why I preached about the promises in week three, following the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, because you got to have the Holy Spirit to hear and conceive the promises.
Yes.
Right? That's why you talk about the promises before you talk about the temptation.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And you got a lot of Bible thumpers out there who want to talk about the temptation without ever empowering the people
that they have power over
with
temptation.
The promises so that they know that they can defeat and walk above and beyond the temptation.
And you're talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you. All right, it just backs up what you say.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to have an opinion, but it's one thing when you back it up with the word.
Yeah.
Here's what he says. Can you look it up in that verse? And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I don't mean to get you off track, but this falls right in line with this. I want to see what it said. What Bible is that?
New King James.
Oh, New King. Good deal. Yeah, okay, let me read this. It says, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What does it say, that first part in 13 there? 1 Corinthians 10, 13.
There it is. No temptation has taken you except such as is common to man. Pretty much the same thing.
Okay. But God is faithful.
Yeah.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted?
Who will not allow you to be tempted?
Okay, it's suffer in this one and allow in that one. You just read that over in James too.
Yeah,
yeah. So it backs up. So the word backs up itself.
Of course.
Above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape.
Mm-hmm. Same.
That ye may be able to bear it. So where's the excuse to yield to temptation? Is temptation a sin? No. We know temptation is not a sin. It's yielding to temptation.
We're all going to be tempted.
Yes.
Jesus was tempted.
Sure.
Right? But Jesus, and that segues us right into the closing that I didn't get to Sunday, because God had other needs going on, and I'm sitting there as I'm preaching it thinking I really need to get to Jesus here, and it just didn't happen, and I found out why after service. Someone came to me and you know, God was speaking to them in the service, so that's more important than what I had planned, of course. And
God trumps us.
We find out all the time. Yep. You know, but we see in Jesus the full consummation of the power of God and His promises in our life.
Yes.
What did Satan tempt Jesus with? He tempted him with earthly things.
That belonged to him anyway.
He put earthly things, didn't want.
Well, no. But
he didn't want those things.
But I know, and he was there for creation.
Yeah.
And he saw it, and it's like...
He tempted him with earthly things, earthly power, earthly kingdoms, earthly knowledge, right? Food, right? He tempted him with things that... You know, if mm-hmm. Jesus can snap his fingers and feed 5,000 from a couple fish and loaves of bread, right?
Right.
He didn't need to turn any stone into bread and eat. Why was he fasting? He was fasting because he wanted to grow in the nurture and power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He wanted the full manifestation of God, the throne of God, the glory of God, the holiness of God in his life.
That's good.
He was fasting for that power. He was fasting for that knowledge. He was fasting for that desire, right? Mm-hmm. See, Jesus shows us that when we make God our all in all, and we turn away from the temptations and the sins of this flesh,
right,
then Satan can put all of the razzle-dazzle in front of us that he wants.
That's
and
good.
We're not interested. Because right. I've already gained so much more. And that's why we walk through this, and we're still talking about hearing from God. The reason we don't hear from God is because we've got too many temptations that we're enticing ourselves with. We've got too many things going on in our life that we like. It yeah. pleases our flesh, and we enjoy it. So we surround ourselves with the people who are going to inhabit that temptation and who are going to gratify us in our sin and who are going to, you know, protect us in that place, right?
Yes.
God is ultimately showing us in Christ, no. Leave all of that. Leave all of that. Go mm-hmm. into your closet. Seek out the power, seek out the authority, seek out the promises, seek out everything I've given you.
That's good.
Right? I'm starting to feel it. I'm going to stand up here in a minute and take the mic.
Take off.
Right? Take everything I've given you into your closet and into the wilderness and become empowered by all that I've given and all that I've promised.
That's good, Jim.
And Satan can't afflict you anymore. He can't. You will become so alive. And it goes back to, see, God knew what he was doing when he played that Skillet song to open up. Awake and Alive, right?
Right.
And the verse of that song, that's why it's one of my favorite Skillet songs and everything else. It says, I'm awake, I'm alive, now I know what I believe inside. Right? What do you believe inside? What do you believe inside? Right? Do you believe in the power and the fullness of God working and moving in your life? Are you pushing for that? Are you pulling for that? Are you desiring and scraping and clawing for that?
Right.
Right? Or are you just bebopping along and the first shiny thing that comes along, ooh, you know, I kind of want to check this out. I want to see what this is like. Right? It's how most people date today. Right?
Yeah.
We won't even go there. But what we find...
I don't blame you.
What we find... is we find that God wants to be our all in all.
Yes, he does.
Satan is intimidated by that. And
absolutely.
So he puts everything in front of us that he sees
mm-hmm.
can impact us. So yeah. Number one, the more we hear from God, the more we become like God, and the more we move ourselves away from this flesh. Right.
That's right.
In our heart, in our mind, in our spirit.
Right.
Right. Which controls the heart and mind when we become spiritual.
Right.
Right. Because otherwise the heart is deceitfully wicked.
Right.
We're told that in Scripture.
True.
Right. So anyone that comes to you and say, God knows my heart. Oh, yeah, honey, he does know your heart. Yeah, he does. He says it's deceitfully wicked.
And people run that as a disclosure yeah. before they say something bad.
Yeah, exactly.
God knows my heart.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't even give him a chance. Someone comes
to me,
God knows my heart. He's, yes, he does. And in like five different places, he says it's deceitfully wicked.
So get out of my face.
Yeah, so follow your heart all you want, honey. It's only going to take you the wrong way.
Right.
Right? What you need to be following is your spirit.
Yes.
What you need to be following is the voice of God. What you need to do is you need to pull yourself away from the earthly influences, from the flashy, shiny things.
That's good.
And choose what God has given and what God has promised.
Yes.
And allow that to empower you. Allow that to mature you. And allow that to take you to where God is.
Yes.
Because the things of this earth that Satan puts in front of us can only tempt us, and we choose to follow those things rather than follow the things of God. And
that's really good.
That's why it's important that if we're going to hear from God, we've got to deal with our temptation.
So if you're going to tell somebody today, as we get down to the end of this today, which has been wonderful, I mean, what are you telling that person that is contemplating suicide? What do you tell that person that is thinking about premarital sex, or that teenager that may be watching, because we do have teenagers that watch,
sure.
that, you know, well, he says he loves me,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to sleep with him.
Mm-hmm.
If
he really loves you, if he really cherishes you,
yeah.
he would not ask you
that's it.
To do that.
But
he would not expect you.
But this is real.
To do that.
This is the things that people are going through. What do you tell those people? Exactly what you've just taught us today.
Yeah. You've got to see and know And you've got to believe that God has more for you.
And you're right? special.
And that you're special. I mean, he sits on a throne and he made you.
Yeah.
He sits on the throne above all thrones and he personally made you in your mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand how important and how special we are to God.
Yes.
Every single one of us. Yeah. And for us to move away from temptation, we have to find our worth in Christ, right? Yeah. And it's a process, right?
Sure.
Early in ministry, you know, I dealt with temptations and things, and fortunately, I was able to say no in most cases, and everything, and you know, before the person out there who's going, most cases, what was the one? Everything else. I mean, we're talking minor things, because when I finally jumped on board and quit playing. When I finally jumped on board, I sunk myself in it.
All in.
And everything else. So, you know, I grew and I matured to a place where, you know, I just don't care. I don't care about riches. I don't care about money. I don't care. And that's why I read those verses before I got to verse 12, just like James did. James talks us about all of these earthly things that we can allow to consume us. We can pursue money, and we can pursue looks, and we can pursue hot babes, and we can, you know, we can pursue all of the things that earth has. And Satan's watching you do that. Right. Satan's watching you, and Satan will say, oh, here's how I devour this one.
Right.
Here's how I devour this one. Here's what I put in front of this one so that I can eat him up.
Yes.
Right? And then when he's eaten up, And everything else, I don't care about him. I just want to destroy God's plan. So I'm going to leave him right there in the place of misery that he chose. He chose, not I chose, that he chose just because I put it in front of him. What happened when Adam and Eve took the fruit? When they were hiding, where was Satan? He done left, man.
He was gone.
He done took off. He'd accomplished his plan.
Yeah.
He'd accomplished his plan. Right, what we That's need to true. Understand when we're going back to your question, when we're dealing with all of these things, it's because Satan sees your worth. He sees God's power and ability and how it can work in you, so he's doing everything he can to keep that from happening.
Wow.
He will tempt you, he will hurt you, he will destroy you, all by putting the things in front of you that he knows will lead you astray. And you've got to be strong enough to say, no, I want more. I want what God created me for.
Wow.
And I want all of it.
Yes.
Right? And that's what Jesus did. That's the example Jesus gave us. Right? Satan offered him earthly kingdoms, earthly riches, you know, probably the best meals, the best cars, figuratively, of course, and everything else. Satan offered him all of that because Satan couldn't offer him anything in the heavenly.
Mm-hmm.
He can only offer him things here on earth.
Right.
And Jesus was like, no.
Right.
No, I've got that and more with Father. And so he refused it, and he disallowed himself to be tempted.
Do you know that there have been times in this broadcast today that I literally have felt the chill of darkness go across my spine?
Mm. Push him out.
And there have been times that within this devotion and this time that we've had together that I have felt the power of God so strong.
Jesus.
And what has happened, Jay, is that we, through what you're preaching and through this broadcast today, has struck a horrible nerve with the enemy.
Mm.
Because this is helping people.
Yeah.
This is helping people. And
well, we're bringing to light how he works.
Yes.
He doesn't tempt us. We tempt ourselves.
Yeah.
But he puts all the things in front of us.
And ultimately, church and people that are watching, we have to know the voice of God.
Yes.
We have to know the power of God. But then we also need to know when the enemy pushes you.
Mm-hmm.
Always remember, God leads and the devil pushes.
Mm-hmm.
And always remember that God, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, mighty through God to the pulling down of strong holds. Our God is mighty.
Yes, not by strength or might, but by the Spirit of God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
He is mighty.
Yeah.
And you are mighty through God.
Yes, you are.
And so it's time for the church to walk in it.
Yes, absolutely.
Hallelujah. Can you pray?
Yes. Father, what a privilege,
Jesus,
Lord, we have to sit here and discern and hear your voice and God, to know how you lead us and you guide us. And Father, we're thankful for truth this morning. Thankful that God, you put it on our shoulders through James this morning. You put it on our shoulders. And you say, it's your fault, Jay. It's your fault. You choose to be tempted. And you choose to allow that temptation to grow. And so we say we're thankful for that, God, because it helps us understand and it helps us realize that we have power in this thing.
Yes.
We have the ability to say no. We have the ability. Satan's not making us do anything, Jesus. It's we who choose. And so we thank you for your presence. We acknowledge you in this place. And God, we thank you that, God, you give us the promises and the power and the spiritual incarnation, dear God, to abstain from the very appearance of evil. To choose, Lord, your way instead of Satan's way. To want you and your kingdom rather than earthly stuff. Father, thank you for your Son who was tempted just as we are, but who showed us and who gives us the power through his example to say no and to choose all that you've given and created us for. Father, thank you for sitting on your throne and creating us in a womb. And Lord, not abandoning us, not forsaking us, but God, choosing to lead us down a path of power and a path of glory through your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, we pray for everyone listening this morning, everyone contemplating these things that we've taught this morning. We pray that in this moment, God, you speak to their heart. And we pray, dear God, that you give them the assurance and that you give them the power. And that, God, you bring forth the strength through the Spirit in them to say no. To say no.
Wow, Jesus.
To the cheap things that Satan puts in front of them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Empower them right now, Lord. Empower them, Lord. And let them tell the story. Let them run into the streets, just like that woman, and say, come see a man. Jesus can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. What a word. What a word. God's faithful. As we leave you today, if you're blessed by this ministry and you want to help, there's three different ways that you can give to this ministry. The Pulse, P.O. Box 141, Gasaway, thepulsewv.com, or you can text your offering to the Pulse, P-U-L-S-E, at 1-304-244-3187, and there's your choice there on Winfield or Gasaway, and it will make sure that it gets where it needs to be. Wow. I feel the presence of the Lord, Jay. I do. I feel the presence of the Lord.
He's worthy to be praised.
Worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Well, I have picked a song that, and you say, well, that's kind of scary because you picked a song. But
I picked Skillet, so you can't.
You picked Skillet.
You've got to do better than that, right?
Vicky,
not that I think I love Skillet, so, I just probably not everyone out there does.
Fried Skillet. Vicky Winans. You ever heard of her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I went to the War Room, and the soundtrack's from the War Room, so we're going to leave him today with this one. Remember that one? Wait till you hear it. Hey, thanks for watching the Pulse WV Live Morning Edition. Pastor Jay Mace on Wednesdays. We'll see you in the morning at 8 o'clock. God bless you, y'all. God bless.